A U.S. state attorney general just opened a criminal investigation into OpenAI. Not civil, criminal. The Florida AG, on camera at a press conference, said this. Quote, if that bot were a person, they would be charged with a principal in first-degree murder. 3 days earlier, a 20-year-old threw a Molotov cocktail at Sam Altman's house and left an anti-AI manifesto. This is the week the public mood broke through. Welcome to AI in 15 for Sunday, April 26th, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your co-host.
Sunday show, Marcus, and the political ground under the AI industry just shifted. Florida opened a criminal probe into OpenAI over the FSU shooting. The New Republic published a long piece arguing the AI industry is finally noticing the public hates it and the violence is escalating. CNBC reports AI data centers are now a third rail issue in Pennsylvania House races. OpenAI quietly posted a $25,000 bounty, asking researchers to prove its biosafeguards are breakable. Adobe retired the Experience Cloud brand to bet the company on agents. Andre Karpathy's LLM wiki pattern went viral on Hacker News 3 times in 24 hours. And the deal sheet keeps growing. Meta's 8,000 layoffs, Microsoft's voluntary buyouts, and a reported $60 billion SpaceX option to acquire Cursor. Florida treats AI output like a co-conspirator. The public backlash gets a body count. And Adobe burns one of the most valuable brands in enterprise SaaS. Lead story, Marcus. Tuesday, Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer announced a criminal investigation into OpenAI tied to the Florida State University shooting. 2 dead, several wounded. Walk me through what prosecutors are actually claiming.
Reviewing chat logs from the accused gunman, Phoenix Eichner, prosecutors say he asked ChatGPT what type of gun and what ammunition to use. What time of day would maximize victims on campus? The lethality of specific shotgun shells. Whether school shooters get sent to maximum security prisons, and whether 3 FSU victims would garner enough media attention. Uthmeyer at his press conference said, quote, if that bot were a person, they would be charged with a principal in first-degree murder. OpenAI has been subpoenaed for internal training materials and policies covering user threats of harm to others, self-harm, and crime reporting. OpenAI's response, the shooting was a tragedy, but ChatGPT is not responsible, and they say they proactively shared the suspect's account with law enforcement.
Why does the criminal framing matter so much more than civil?
Because it changes the math, Kate. Section 230 immunity, the law that has shielded internet platforms for 30 years, doesn't obviously apply to generative output. There's no settled doctrine for, quote, principal in first-degree murder, by a probabilistic system. Civil liability, OpenAI insures against. Criminal exposure for executives or for the corporation as a person under Florida law is a different threat model entirely. If this case advances, every model provider has to harden refusal behavior under threat of prosecution rather than threat of being sued. The downstream effect is more aggressive guardrails, more false refusals, and a chilling effect on what consumer-facing AI will do for users in any state with an ambitious AG.
And the political context is what amplifies it.
That's the part to keep an eye on, Kate. This is the same Florida AG who has been aggressive on big tech generally. He's picking a fight he believes the public is on his side of. And he's almost certainly right. Stanford's AI Index this year found 73% of AI experts think AI will be net positive for jobs. The general public, 23%. That 50-point gap is the political opening, and Uthmeyer just walked through it.
Quick hits, Marcus. And the next story is the connective tissue. The New Republic published a piece this week titled, "The AI Industry is Discovering That the Public Hates It." 300-plus comments on Hacker News.
2 recent incidents anchor it. April 10th, Sam Altman's house was attacked with a Molotov cocktail by a 20-year-old who left an anti-AI manifesto on the scene. 3 days earlier, an Indianapolis Democratic councilman had 13 shots fired into his home with a, quote, "no data centers" note left on the doorstep. His 8-year-old son was inside. The numbers underneath the piece are stark. Gallup last month, Gen Z excitement about AI fell from 36% to 22% in a single year. Anger rose from 22 to 31. An NBER paper in February found 80% of companies actively using AI report no productivity impact. MIT last year, 95% of corporate AI pilots returned zero. And between April and June of 2025, $98 billion of proposed data center projects were blocked or delayed by local resistance.
So the hype versus reality gap is now politically combustible.
And the violence is no longer abstract. I want to be straight with listeners, Kate. A lot of this hostility is downstream of the AI lab's own marketing. They spent 2 years telling the public that their jobs would vanish and their models could uplift bioterrorism. Then they're surprised when a 20-year-old takes them at their word and throws a Molotov cocktail. You don't get to run doom marketing for 2 years and then act bewildered that the public believed you. That said, shots fired into a councilman's home with a child inside is a line that should never be crossed. And the political class is going to remember which industry the rage is pointed at.
Pennsylvania, Marcus. CNBC has reporting that AI data centers are now a campaign issue in 2026 House races.
All four competitive Pennsylvania House districts are areas where Governor Josh Shapiro has data center expansion plans. Republican incumbents who flipped seats in 2024, including Reps Ryan McKenzie and Rob Bresnahan, are now scrambling to distance themselves. A Quinnipiac poll in February found 68% of PA voters would oppose construction of an AI data center in their community. Pennsylvania residential electricity rates jumped 21.7% in 2025, largely attributed to data center demand on the PJM grid. Harrisburg lawmakers are weighing a 3-year moratorium on hyperscale facilities.
And the House majority is 5 seats.
Exactly. If data center anger costs the GOP 2 PA districts, it costs them the chamber. The interesting feature here is that the opposition is genuinely bipartisan. Environmentalists, farmers, and conservative ratepayers all aligned. Tech issues usually don't unite that coalition. Power bills do. This is the first U.S. national election cycle in which AI infrastructure itself is a campaign issue. And it lands on the same side of the aisle that the industry has been lobbying hardest. The hyperscalers are about to learn that ratepayer politics beats lobbying budgets every single time.
OpenAI, Marcus. 2 days after launching GPT 5.5, they posted a bug bounty I have never seen before.
On April 25th, OpenAI published the GPT 5.5 bio bug bounty. Up to $25,000 for the first researcher who finds a single universal jailbreak that gets the model to answer all 5 questions in OpenAI's internal biosafety challenge. Clean session in Codex Desktop. Applications open through June 22nd. Testing through July 27th. NDA bound. 1 winner. The Hacker News reaction has been frosty. The previous Kaggle Red team had $500,000 in payouts and was open publishable. This one caps a single payout at $25,000 and gags the researcher.
So, what's the company actually saying with that structure?
2 things at once, Kate. First, they're implicitly conceding their biosafeguards are not provably bulletproof. Otherwise, why offer the bounty? Second, the structure tells you exactly how much they want independent eyeballs on the result. NDA, single winner, $25,000 cap, you get 1 or 2 serious researchers, not the security community. The previous Kaggle posture said, quote, "please tear this apart in public." This one says, quote, "please tear this apart in private and don't tell anyone what you found." Pair that with the Florida criminal probe lead story, and you can see why. They're trying to lock down a known weakness before a prosecutor finds it for them.
Adobe, Marcus. They retired the Experience Cloud brand this week.
At Adobe Summit 2026 in Las Vegas, Adobe announced it is replacing the Experience Cloud brand with a new product called CX Enterprise, anchored by a persistent agent called CX Enterprise Coworker. Coworker is goal-based, not campaign-based. It monitors signals, recommends next best actions, and executes across channels in real time. Architecturally, it runs on the OpenMCP and A2A protocols, and is interoperable with AWS, Anthropic, Google Cloud, Microsoft, and OpenAI surfaces. General availability in the coming months.
Why is killing the Experience Cloud brand the actual headline?
Because Experience Cloud is one of the most valuable brand names Adobe owns. They don't retire it lightly. The customer experience suites, Adobe, Salesforce, HubSpot, are the second biggest commercial AI battleground after coding. Adobe explicitly committing to MCP and A2A is a bet that the agent protocol standards war is functionally over. They're conceding to interop rather than fighting for a proprietary stack. For investors, the bigger signal is that Adobe is willing to torch a marquee brand to plant a flag in the agentic era. That's a level of conviction we haven't seen from a public company SaaS vendor on AI yet. It also tells you what they think their competition is going to look like by the end of next year.
Carpathy story, Marcus. Three independent implementations of the LLM wiki pattern hit Hacker News in 24 hours.
A show HN of a project called Whoopf, a Carpathy-style LLM wiki maintained by your agents in Markdown and Git, hit the front page Friday with 229 points and over 100 comments. The pattern, originally proposed by Andre Carpathy in a GIST that's been making the rounds. Instead of using RAG to re-derive answers from raw documents at query time, you have the LLM incrementally compile a durable wiki of entity pages, concept pages, summaries, and cross-references that accumulates over time. A schema file often called Claude.md or Agents.md tells the model the conventions. The slogan from one comment, quote, RAG retrieves and forgets, a wiki accumulates and compounds.
Why does this matter beyond a clever show HN?
Because it's the open source community answering the agent memory problem differently than the venture-funded answer. The vector database industry has raised billions on the premise that the right substrate for LLM memory is high-dimensional embeddings retrieved at query time. The Carpathy pattern says no, the right substrate is Markdown in Git. It's auditable, version-controlled, human-readable, and it's free. The fact that three independent implementations went viral in a single day tells you the pattern hit a nerve with developers who are tired of chasing RAG quality. It's a quiet rebuke to a lot of the infrastructure being built around vector search, and a sign that the ecosystem keeps reinventing what works rather than what's funded.
Last quick hit, Marcus. The deal sheet keeps moving. We covered the Google and Amazon Anthropic deals yesterday.
Three items worth flagging. First, Meta confirmed 8,000 layoffs, roughly 10% of staff, plus 6,000 unfilled roles eliminated. Zuckerberg is roughly doubling AI capex to between $115 and $135 billion in 2026. Second, Microsoft opened a, quote, rule of 70 voluntary buyout to about 8,750 U.S. employees. Third, and this is the spiciest, SpaceX reportedly holds a $60 billion option to acquire Cursor.
So the people cuts are funding the chip buys.
That is now an explicit, repeatable pattern. The marginal Frontier Lab investment is bigger than the entire annual R&D budget of most Fortune 100 companies, and it's being financed by a handful of hyperscalers that are simultaneously cutting headcount to fund it. Meta's math is the cleanest. 8,000 jobs out, an extra $40 to $60 billion in capex in. The SpaceX Cursor option is the more interesting strategic signal. it tells you, Musk's ecosystem is acquiring not just chips and launch capacity, but the IDE layer where developers actually live. Vertical integration from silicon to text editor. Whether the option is exercised or not, the fact that it exists is itself a signal about where Musk thinks the choke points will be.
Sunday big picture, Marcus. Pull the threads together.
Two stories. Same week, opposite directions, Kate. DeepSeek shipped a 1.6 trillion parameter open weights model that nearly matches the U.S. frontier at 1/6 the price. And Pennsylvania voters told pollsters 68% of them don't want a data center near their house. While Sam Altman's house got attacked and a Florida AG opened a criminal probe over chatbot output. The capability curve is bending faster than the social license to deploy it. And the gap between those two curves is where 2026's AI politics is going to be fought. The open sourcing from China is precisely calibrated to that gap, undercutting Western labs' pricing power at the moment they need every dollar to fund the data centers their voters are trying to block. That's not an accident.
And the human side.
When the public mood and the model release schedule diverge this hard, somebody eventually has to bend, Kate. The Florida criminal probe, the Indianapolis shots fired, the Pennsylvania moratorium bill, the Carpathy Wiki getting more applause than the next vector database. These are all the same signal. People want a relationship with this technology that the industry hasn't bothered to design for them yet. The labs that figure that out next year survive politically. The ones that keep selling Doom and Supercluster will find themselves the campaign issue in November.
That's your AI in 15 for Sunday, April 26, 2026. See you tomorrow.